for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or caving the bottom or hitting the top. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the armchair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah. Woo! This is the armchair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
Ooh. Welcome to episode 211 of the Armchair Fantasy Show, part of the Going for Two Live Podcast Network. I'm your host tonight, Ryan Searfoss. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Foss534. Jeff is still on break for a couple more weeks. But of course, we're here live every Wednesday on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, syndicated on all major podcast networks and streaming on the Going for Two app on iOS and Android. Tonight, I am joined again by my co-host, Rob. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How are you?
Awesome, man. Rob, make sure to tell everybody where they can find you. And
I'm in a couple places. So I'm writing for you guys over at Going for Two. Also writing for Dynasty Nerds and just started being a fantasy correspondent with Fantasy Pros. So a little bit everywhere right now.
Awesome, man. And tonight we are bringing back one of our favorites on the show. We got Shane, a.k.a. The Jinx, at DFS Shane 26. Shane, tell everybody who you are and where they can find you if you're working on anything cool or anything like that.
Yeah, like you said, on Twitter at DFShane26. I used to do a lot of fantasy content on there kind of back in the day. Ended up having my daughter last year and just got busy with work and everything else. So haven't had much time to do that. But, you know, I've known Jeff for probably 15 years. I think it's like my sixth or seventh year that I've been on this this show. So I mean, Jeff can tell you the history, but long story short, when I first met Jeff, I called out a few predictions in the playoffs. I remember a time in particular, my friend Mel, he's a huge Broncos fan. And Ryan, I think you like this story, but basically thought that the Broncos had the game pretty much wrapped. Texted my friend Mel in the group chat, Jeffson. I said, hey, man, congrats. You just I think you just shipped your win to the next round. And seconds later, Flacco ends up throwing like a Hail Mary. And actually, the Ravens ended up winning the whole Super Bowl. So they won the whole thing that year. And ever since then, it's just event after event after event where some of my predictions just do not work out. So, you know, we kind of made a thing about it. And I started coming on, you know, this show. And it's been a lot of fun. So I told Jeff, hey, man, I'll always be down to come back and give some predictions here and there. But yeah, outside of that, I'm huge in the daily fantasy. Fortunately, I don't really jinx that, but you asked me to do some future bets. You know, it could go south quick, but you know, let's have some fun tonight.
Yeah, man. And you know what? Jeff's not here. So you know what? The jinx isn't gonna be here. We're gonna have everything's gonna be right this time. Jeff gave me a list of a few of your jinxes last year. I was told I have to read them, so apologize. we had Debo over Brandon Ayuk, Tyler Higbee in the top five. We got the leading receiver in Carolina would be Christian McCaffrey. All know what happened to him. Paris Campbell breakout. But the one you got right and really hit was Justin Herbert starting by week two, and man, did you bang that one home. So that's awesome. But like I said, we're hitting one prediction for all 32 teams tonight. I'm going to go back and forth between you guys. And we're just going to go division by division. We're going to start with the AFC East. So, Shane, we're starting with you. Will either of these Buffalo running backs end up fantasy relevant? Who do you believe in?
You know, it's kind of hard to say right now because with Buffalo, you kind of – I mean, you gotta put Josh Allen in the mix because last year we saw a pure example. I mean, I had Singletary in quite a few of my leagues, and if it wasn't him, I mean, Allen was running it in at the red zone. And if it's not Allen, they've got their bruiser back in Zach Moss. I mean, Zach Moss really, really showed out last year. And it's kind of hard to say like what they're going to do this season. When you look at a fantasy perspective, obviously you want your running back to get yards, but what's more important, right? You want touchdowns. And we watched it all last season. Singletary would get there, he'd get there, and they get to the red zone, and it's either Josh Allen diving over the pile, or you got Zach Moss, who's actually like 30 pounds larger than Singletary is. He's just falling over in the end zone. It's a scary situation, and we're going to see it down. We're going to see it all night when you go over all these teams. That it's a lot of running backs by committee. So I really don't have any faith in any of them. Like I said, I have Singletary in my dynasty right now, and I'm kind of worried.
Yeah, he's somebody. If I have him, he's not really staying off the bench. And I've been fairly vocal about my opinions. I don't like Zach Moss. I'm kind of with you on that. And Rob, we're coming to you here. Do you believe Tua is taking the next step for Miami? Like, this is a big one for me. I love Tua. Like, what do you think?
It all depends on how you're going to define what the next step looks like. I mean, do you think he's going to be top 12? No, I don't think he's going to be top 12. Can he get to top 15? Maybe. I mean, I don't think I'd put money on it, but I think we'll see him take steps in the right direction where he's going to be a fantasy viable quarterback. He can be one of those streamers. He can be a guy you can start in a super flex or a two quarterback league. I don't think we're going to get to the point where we can start him as in a single quarterback format. They're a running team. They're going to lean on that defense. They're not going to put Tua in a position where he's throwing the ball 35, 40 times. So, no, I mean, I like him. I think we'll see an efficiency step forward. But as far as fantasy, I don't think the volume will be there, personally.
Yeah, I've been thinking about him a lot, and I've kind of come to the conclusion he could become, like, a Kirk Cousins-type starter. And that's fine. Like, you can win football games with that playing the fantasy. So I'm kind of with you there. I don't top 12 really pushing at this point.
Yeah, correct.
Sticking with the quarterbacks, Shane, where are you with this New England QB situation? We got Mac Jones, we got Cam Newton. I feel like we talk about it every show, but I like to get everyone's different perspective on it, and it's a big one right now.
Yeah, so Cam Newton kind of dates back to where the jinx started as well. With Jeff and I's Dynasty League, that's when Carolina was coming off of that huge season they had under Ron. And I decided I was going to play the strategy of drafting all Carolina players. I guess I'm a daily fantasy player at heart, so I kind of went in with a strategy that latest greatest is always the best. And that's probably one of the worst years that I've ever had with injuries and just letdowns. Kelvin Benjamin, I think he's got to be reaching 300 pounds by now. I know we saw him out there running some drills. I think this is going to be it for Cam. I will say this. I'll call it right now. I think we see Cam on the bench by week five.
By week five, okay. Rob, you with him there?
I mean, we're going to see Mac Jones earlier than we think. I mean, there's really no reason to hang on to Cam. He's not the future. They got all that financial stuff tied into Cam Newton's contract, where if they bench him earlier, they're going to save money. They got a first-round pedigree on Mac Jones. There's really no reason not to give him a chance here.
No. Okay, you got to do it. And last team in the division is the Jets, who are getting better, but still not completely there yet. Who's some of your fantasy relevant guys that you actually want on your team?
That I want on my team?
Yeah, if you had to.
From the Jets?
Yeah, I know. I
look
way too vague and way too different.
It's the Jets. No, I mean, I'm looking through the ADP here, man. I don't see any Jet inside the top 130, and it's about right. I mean, if dynasty-wise, I'll take a stab on Zach Wilson, absolutely. He's a young kid. He's drafted very high. He can run. He's got a big arm. They got some weapons there where I think Zach Wilson could be a viable player here year one. But as far as the receivers, man, that's a receiver by committee. You got Jamison Crowder, you got Corey Davis, you got Elijah Moore. I mean, there's just not anybody that stands out. There's no target hog. I know we want to love Michael Carter, but Michael Carter's best role is going to be in an Austin Eckler type role, you know, where he's catching passes. And that's kind of a situational type of thing. Do we trust the 49ers coaches to do that? I don't know. Carter is the only one that I semi believe in for 2020, that he could be a flex player based off of that PPR floor, but no one else that I want to be in my starting lineup on a regular basis this season. Not even close.
Yeah, I have a lot of Michael Carter in best ball, and he's about it. Shane, we got a listening question for you from Garrison. And Garrison says, I think Zach Wilson will be the top quarterback in this draft. He wants to know if you feel that way.
So you can see in the background, my cat's walking right behind me. So no matter what I say right now, I'm under Jinx powers.
Yeah, it's a black cat, man. It's
stay away from Zach Wilson, man. He's a good kid.
he should be a good kid, right? I mean, he came out of BYU, I believe. Yeah. So I really hope he is a good kid. But so here's the thing about how I feel about Zach is I sneaky kind of wanted him to be on my Washington football team. There's something about him I actually do like. I think he fits an NFL style caliber of a QB. As far as his weapons, I really do like the Corey Davis acquisition. I think Corey Davis is going to shine now that he's not under AJ Brown's footsteps. I think it's really going to open up that backfield a little bit. I've always liked the speed and Crowder and Mims. They are sneaky fast, but the issue still lies that they're the New York Jets, right? And no matter who their coach is, it really doesn't matter. They're going to be at the bottom of the division. I think they're doing things right, though. But it's going to take Wilson some time. And I don't even want to go over their offensive line because, in all honesty, I'm not a Morgan Moses fan. I've dealt with him and watched him many times. The guy just gets penalty after penalty. So I think you're going to be seeing a lot of that this season. They're going to be going backwards. And yeah, that's all I got, man. And hopefully Michael Carter performs. I drafted him in our dynasty league, Jeff's dynasty league, so we'll see. But Gerson, answer your question. I'm 50-50 on it. I don't really have any strong say now that he's a Jet.
There's no jinx when you have it that way. I love it. And who steps up for the Pittsburgh Steelers out of that crowd receiving core? Who's your guy? All their ADPs within like a round and a half each other. Who, if you have the choice, are you taking the chance on?
Yeah, so I personally think Juju is kind of going backwards. I'm not sure what's going on with him, but Chase Claypool's my guy, man. I was very happy with him last season, especially in the early weeks of on DraftKings when he was like sneaky cheap and no one really targeted him. Obviously, he's going to have much higher ownership now, but a lot of that too is going to come down to Big Ben. I mean, this guy is. I'm not sure how he didn't retire like 10 seasons ago, but who knows, man? Maybe they'll go down to fourth in their depth chart and Dwayne Haskins will make an appearance, right?
You didn't hear Big Ben's interview this week? He said he's on a stricter diet than Tom Brady now, man.
Is that right? Yeah, that's right. So little Ben. So hopefully little Ben will, step it back up, stay healthy. I mean, obviously he's got the experience and everything else, but, Mason Rudolph has a dent in his head. So, I mean, it's just that whole team's a disaster. I don't like anything about the Steelers. But truthfully, I think Chase Claypool he takes a huge lead. And I'm going to do a bold prediction for you. I think Chase Claypool will be the top 10 receiver in receiving yards this year.
Woo! I love it.
Yep.
That's beautiful. Do you think J.K. Dobbins is going to fall into an RB1 this year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we're talking full PPR here, so there's just no way he gets the receiving work to get there. I mean, I know everybody looks back at Mark Ingram in 2019 and say, well, he did it, right? So Dobbins can definitely do it. But what they don't see is Mark Ingram had 5 receiving touchdowns on 25 targets. I mean, if Travis Kelce scored at that rate at how many targets he had, he would have had like 30 touchdowns. I mean, it's just not something that's repeatable. I really like J.K. Dobbins as a strong RB2. I think he's got a really nice floor. But as RB1, it's not something I want to be betting on. I mean, you either got to be betting on that target volume to come up, which has never been there with Lamar Jackson, or you're going to have to bet on some insane touchdown efficiency, which is possible inside that Baltimore offense, but I never want to be betting on high touchdown totals. I mean, we see those things fluctuate year to year. So I'm out on RB1, but I'm buying J.K. Dobbins as a really nice RB2.
That's fair. I mean, I like to have a little more positives out of J.K. Dobbins from Ravens fan, but I get the argument on it. I can't be real angry about it. But, yeah, hopefully the touchdowns make up for it. But you're right, you can't chase touchdowns in fantasy, no matter how good an offense is. Shane Gerson says, I'm not a Jack Wilson fan. I just wanted you to jinx him. And he said Chase Claypool is now on his do not draft list.
Okay, all right, Garrison. We'll be messaging each other all season. Maybe I'll make a little side bet with him because I'm down to throw money on Chase this season. We'll see.
Awesome. And sticking with wide receivers, do you believe OBJ is bouncing back this year?
I don't think so, man. I'll tell you. I mean, he hasn't ever since he became a Brown, right? He hasn't been that guy. And I just think he's got a lot of competition on this team. And I'm telling you what, I don't even think it's because of Jarvis Landry. I like the sneaky receivers, and I know I'm speaking from a daily fantasy standpoint, but some of these guys I want to say fell in love with from a DFS angle because I'm looking at a guy right now like Rashard Higgins. I love these guys that no one targets on the daily aspect, but they're just getting deeper and deeper. And I'm not even going to talk about Peoples Jones.
I love Peoples Jones.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's fast, and they've got a lot of speed on that team in general. And Mayfield can really spread the ball around. And, Baker, he's a strong guy. He's mentally strong, too. He's not going to let someone like, you know, Odell boss him around. Odell gets angry when he doesn't get targets, right? We saw that in New York. He fought a kicker's net and lost. It's one of those things. He's a diva. And I don't think this is a team that's really going to fly on. And, there's too much talent on that team. I mean, they've got with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the backfield. That team is just so deep overall and an offensive standpoint. Do you really need Odell? I mean, when Odell's there and when he's in his prime and he's got the ceiling that will literally like win you a tournament that will dominate. But we haven't seen that in a few years, right? And I don't think we're ever going to see it again.
What's your ceiling for Odell then?
I mean, what? He put up, I think he broke 1,000 yards in 19, right?
Yeah.
Last year he got hurt, right? I'm pretty sure he got hurt. Honestly, I got him under 1,000 yards, maybe pushing 800, if that.
Okay.
I just don't see it. I don't think he's gonna have the volume. I really don't. I think he's gonna pout. He's gonna get upset. He's not even gonna be the leading receiver on this team. I got Higgins or Landry as a leading receiver, and honestly, I'm leaning Higgins.
Mark it down, Odell back to 1,400 yards. But now I get it. He's a wide receiver 27 now, which at that price, it's upside. Granted, it is one place ahead of Chase Claypool, who's top 10. He's in the top 10 now, but
he's there.
He's right there. All right, Rob. Speaking of the opposite end of receivers, we're talking brand new, exciting, the new Lamborghini League, Ja'Marr Chase. We having a huge rookie year out of him?
I'm a little skeptical. I mean, I know everybody wants to talk about the connection between Joe Burrow and him, but they haven't played together in 2 years. And Joe Burrow actually played with T. Higgins last year that people seem to forget about. And T. Higgins almost put up 1,000 yards. So, I mean, it's a crowded wide receiver room. He hasn't played football in 2 years. I mean, and he's now making the jump from college to football without having played football for 2 years. I mean, we knock guys coming off of injuries so many times because, they got to knock off the rust. They got to do this. They got to do that. Well, that's going to be true for Chase too, except now he's going to be doing it at a level of competition that he's never seen before. And I don't want to knock Chase because I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. I mean, Dynasty, I am buying, but redraft-wise, I mean, there are some things where you say, okay, does it happen this year? I mean, Tyler Boyd is going to get his, too. T. Higgins is going to get his, too. I think Chase has a nice season, but I think people expecting top 20 from him is probably going to be disappointing.
Yeah, he is right now going – I mean, we're just sticking in that area. One spot had Odell at 26. Like, I know we have high upside dart throws there, but – we're dropping them high right now. If you're expecting Justin Jefferson, we're pushing a little bit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's like, no way I think you can get there.
Like, I think you could see a pick season like CeeDee Lamb last year if everything clicks, but it's still pushing it.
Correct. I mean, and that's really, that's, what is that, back end top 20? Like,
yeah. And you know what? Like, you mentioned it. Nobody's talking about the year off.
Like, yeah, it's
not
deal.
Mentioned at all, and it does matter.
Like, and the jump in competition? I mean, it's a big thing going from college to the pros. And
yeah. I mean, he roasted some good dudes coming out but in that championship, but question it. Yeah. Hopping over to the AFC South, we got that new addition of Julio to Tennessee. Shane, does he hurt A.J. Brown for you?
Absolutely not. Honestly, I love Julio this season. I'm not even concerned about A.J. Brown, and I'm going to tell you why. Because with A.J. Brown, you also have to remember, no more Corey Davis, no more Jonnu Smith. It's going to open up the offense completely, and he's going to a team that has one of, if not the best running backs in the league with Derrick Henry. It's going to force those linebackers to come in. Hopefully, if Julio can stay healthy, I think this might be one of the biggest seasons of his whole career. Granted, who his quarterback is, but honestly, I look at Tannehill and Matt Ryan. I don't put them too far apart, especially as of late. I know that's a bold statement, but I mean, you got to look at the high caliber quarterbacks, right? You got to look at your Mahomes. You got to look at Lamar Jackson if he actually knows how to throw a football. Sorry, Ryan. But you've got playmakers in this league. You've got your Russell Wilsons. I put those guys on a whole different pedestal. You know, even Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, like those guys are tier one players, tier one quarterbacks. I don't put Matt Ryan there. I don't put Tannehill there. So it's not like he's veering to a whole nother level, you know, type tier quarterback. So, I mean, he's honestly bold. I don't know if it's going to be bold for you guys, but I think Julio Jones, he finds himself in Tennessee, stays healthy, and I got him in the top five in passing yards.
Whew.
Oh, receiving yards. Sorry.
Receiving yards. So right now we're looking in this top 10. Mm-hmm. Julio top five, Claypool top 10.
Yep.
Are we going to finish out the top 10 before the show's over?
Maybe. I don't know. I might need another beer for that one, though.
speaking of new people in new places, Carson Wentz back with Colts. Rob, can he return to that all-pro form where he was 33 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, slinging that ball all over the place?
I don't know if we'll see that Carson Wentz again, but I think people forget how good he was from, you know, the last 3 years prior to 2020. I mean, he was averaging 32 touchdowns a season, like you said. I mean, this isn't a guy that – I mean, I don't think he all of a sudden went to Brock Osweiler, right? Like, he didn't just turn into the worst quarterback in the world in one season. The 2020 Eagles offense was broken. It struggled with tons of injuries across the whole board, offensive line, receiver, running back, tight end, everywhere. I think we're going to see a better Carson Wentz. I'm not going to buy into him as a QB1 like he was those three seasons, but as a QB2, a solid QB2, yeah, I can dig it. I'll buy that. But all pro, no, I don't think we'll see that again. And it's not really a knock on Wentz. It's more about all the other quarterbacks that we have in the league. Like, that's a big ask of anybody.
Yeah,
there's right now there's just so many quarterbacks that you got to put up some sort of season to get up there. So it's really not a knock on Wentz. I'm buying him in Superflex. I think he's going to be a fine number two starter, but I'm not thinking he's going to be top 12. But I like the offense. I like the weapons, the offensive line. It's all there.
Yeah, I said his best year in Philly, he had that great offensive line. He has one of the best offensive lines this year. I like that correlation. I'll make this one quick, Shane. Is there anybody in Houston you care about this year?
Nope, they're going to win two games. Next question.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now, they're going to win two games. Have you seen their schedule? It's insanely tough, for one. The team is just completely depleted. Who knows what's going to happen with Watson? Two, they got Tyrod Taylor starting. Tyrod Taylor is the only quarterback I've ever watched on Hard Knocks get booed at his own training camp, because that's when they drafted Mayfield. The fans were literally booing Tyrod because they wanted to see Mayfield. I feel sorry for the guy, but This whole team's a train wreck. They're going to beat the Jets, I think, maybe. Who knows? And I think they'll beat the Dolphins. That's it. That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
Those are upsets. Offense aren't bad. But yeah, they're going to be lucky to win two games.
I got them at 0-17. First team to ever lose 17 games in a season.
Very possible.
I don't think you're off. I'm going to change this question up just a little bit for you. Rob, I can see either or. At their draft positions, Laviska Shenault or DJ Chark?
Oh, I'm going to take Shenault here. I mean, the difference in ADP is pretty substantial, and I like Chark a lot, but I'll take that value that Shenault has right now. But again, that's not a knock on Chark because I'm buying his upside too with Lawrence there. But the ADP difference is pretty substantial right now. So give me that value with Shenault.
Yep, and it flipped from 3 months ago, which is wild. Now, the Chiefs this year, we all know the passing offense. Last year, we had CEH as a lock top 12 running back, and he did not hit that because, you know, they passed the ball a lot. Teams made some changes. Shane, did he hit that this year? Did he get that top 12?
I don't think so. I just don't, man. I mean, like I said, there's certain teams that you just – it's hard to predict, right? I mean, and I'm going to name three. Buffalo, Kansas City, and Tampa. Those are three teams I can name right there that – it's just hard to attack from an offensive standpoint and just try to guess who takes the load. And there's so many other teams now that are just revamping their offense. I mean, we just talked about Tennessee with Julio. I like CEH because there's one stat in particular as I was looking him over that that really caught my eye, and he had zero fumbles as a rookie. I did not realize that. He didn't fumble the ball one time last season, which is incredible. Well, yeah, he's a rookie, right? And I'll tell you what, coaches love running backs. I can hold on to the rock. So it's, you know, he's definitely got the upside. He's got the ceiling. He's going to have some great games. But I mean, when Mahomes is leading your offense and you got the cheetah, I mean, it's like Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the league. What are you going to do? I mean, it's so hard to predict that.
Do you hear he said we pronounced his name wrong for 8 years on the interview? Kelce just went on an interview and said everyone's pronounced his name wrong for 8 years. It's just
really?
And I'm never going to call him that. Mm-hmm. But real weird. Sticking with shit shows on offense, how much is Kenyon Drake hurt Josh Jacobs for you, Rob? We can include the line there too, but
you know, I think his ADP has been hurt more by it than Kenyon Drake actually has. It's gotten to the point where I'm buying Josh Jacobs. I think he's still going to see 250 carries. I think he's still going to have 15, 20 catches. I mean, it's not a ton. He doesn't have RB1 upside without like 12, 14 touchdowns, which I don't see happening in Las Vegas. But I mean, I'm buying Josh Jacobs. I'm not too worried about Kenyon Drake. John Gruden saying Drake is going to play in the slot. I mean, get out of here. We hear about that crap all, you know, every offseason. That stuff just doesn't happen. Jacobs is going to be the hammer to that offense. They've ran through him the past two seasons. I mean, his touch totals year one and year two are off the charts. That's not going to change. I'm totally okay with Josh Jacobs as my
RB2. RB20 right now. Feeling like a value.
Yeah, I'm buying.
I completely agree with you there. I like hearing some positivity towards his name. And speaking of positivity, the new hotness last year, Justin Herbert, just lit everybody up. It worked out perfectly with you having his prediction last year, starting by week two. Is he solidifying that top five quarterback this year?
Man, it's kind of hard to say. I can't. Look, I got one call right last year, and that was on Justin Herbert. I can't double down on him because he's going to like tear his ACL or something. But I will say, I did call this. I'm taking my win. And not only that, he broke the rookie record for 31 touchdowns, most touchdowns by a rookie. But with that being said, he did lose Hunter Henry. Yeah, they replaced him with Jared Cook, but. I mean, I felt like, especially with that Chargers offense, Hunter Henry was a huge part of his offense. But I think he'll have a good season. I see the Chargers kind of regressing this season, personally. But I don't think he's going to put up – honestly, I don't think he's going to put the same numbers he did last year. I think he'll regress.
Yeah, he will. He did a little bit at the end of the year anyways. He had a drop-off in yards per game by about 30 yards – or, yeah, about close to 30 yards and another, like, half a touchdown game down. So there was a little regression. But even if he does, he'd still be a really good asset. Sticking with quarterbacks, those more towards receivers, but can either of these Denver quarterbacks, either Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater, sustain Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton as fantasy viable players for you, Rob?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's what's going to happen. I mean, everybody's looking at this quarterback situation as Drew Lock of 2020 versus Teddy Bridgewater, but this is what's going to happen. Either Drew Lock is going to take a step forward and keep Teddy on the bench, or he's not, and Teddy is going to start. And Teddy supported three top 20 or 30 receivers last year in Carolina. So one way or another, Denver is going to get better quarterback play this season. And, I mean, the ADP on Jerry Jeudy is wide receiver 37, something like that. Sutton is around 30, 31. I think you'll be happy with both of those guys around that zone. And we forget, you know, fantasy managers got such short memories. But, man, Sutton was awesome in 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really, really good. And his quarterback play wasn't good. I mean, it was Case Keenum and somebody else. I'm buying Sutton at wide receiver 31. I like Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver 38. One way or another, the quarterback play in Denver is going to be better.
Yeah. And if Teddy Bridgewater takes over, Jerry Judy's the mid for me. Just letting you guys know. Like, he's going to be a midline or wide receiver two if that change happens. I think he just fits what they do. I swear I didn't set up these questions this way, but Shane, sticking with the Washington football team, is Ryan Fitzmagic making this offense good enough to keep up with that defense and make them a well-rounded football team? Are you in on Fitzmagic?
I am all in on Fitzmagic. I really did some thinking. I decided to grow the beard out. I've actually been getting people telling me I'm starting to look like Fitzmagic. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'll roll with it.
I think it's a great thing.
Hopefully it's not a jinxable beard. I'm not jinxing them by growing the beard out, but let's look at it as it is. I mean, Fitzmagic is a fantasy god. He is. 12 of his last 14 starts, he scored over 20 fantasy points. I mean, all us DFS players, we've all seen the weekends that he's like 7K on DraftKings and he gets you like 40 points. I expect the same. Because with the addition of Curtis Samuel and Scary Terry, who's probably the best wide receiver out of that draft. Actually, he is the best wide receiver out of that draft. And not to mention my man, Cam Sims. Everyone remember the name, Cam Sims. Get him on your dynasty teams. Get him on your season-long teams because he's going to make a statement this year. I'm not going to say any bold statements about him because he's going to be kind of overlooked. But he's going to have some big games that will, you know, if you get into your bye weeks, you got Cam Sims on your bench, you might want to fire him up.
Oh, man, we're getting the bold prediction out of nowhere on that. I love that. Yeah, I think he's an improvement from last year. I mean, it doesn't take much, but we know we're getting – he's going to sling it. And this is one that's been interesting for me. Barkley's been kind of just moving around between, like, 3 and 8, depending on who you're talking to. Is he returning that 2019 form? Is he still superstar for you?
Yes.
Popping back in that area with CMC, Dalvin, guys.
Yep, and I'm not even questioning it in a little bit. Nope. I want Saquon Barkley. I'm buying in. Torn ACLs aren't what they used to be. We see guys bounce back from this all the time, and Barkley is one of these freaks. I mean, he came back from that high ankle sprain in 3 weeks. I'm buying into Barkley. They're going to run their offense through him. You're going to want him on your team. I think he's got the capability to finish in the top three. You know, the top of the running backs is so heavy. I mean, with Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, I mean, if he finishes outside the top five, I wouldn't be surprised, but you're not going to be disappointed with that either. I mean, he's a stud. I want him on my lineup. I ain't worried about the injury. Give him to me all day long.
Yeah, that top six running backs, any order you put him in, I'm fine with it.
Correct.
Like, I really don't care. But, yeah, I'm not worried about him either. And ACLs aren't a big deal anymore, which is insane to hear and think about. Shane. As a DFS guy, this is kind of interesting for Dallas's offense. With Dak back, like, how high can you do? How many guys are you confident in? Like, it's kind of vague, but, like, there's a lot there How do you feel about this offense and where you put these guys?
I mean, if Dak can have a fully healthy season, I mean, the sky's the limit. There's something, and I'm not saying this as a Washington fan, but I just feel there's always something with this Dallas team that there's just the something always goes wrong, right? I mean, they've got talent-wise, they probably got one of the best offenses in the league, if not the best offense, in my opinion. I mean, they've got all the weapons you could ever ask for. And in all honesty, I do think if Dak can stay healthy, he's for sure got the weapons to do it. I mean, CeeDee Lamb came into the league blazing. I mean, Zeke is obviously a top five running back, and Tony Pollard coming into that team with that Memphis style running game just brought a whole new aspect. I mean, they've got weapons all around, and I feel if he can stay healthy, then this is the season he needs to prove his critics wrong, because there's a lot of Tony Romo fans out there that still haven't got on board with Dak, and you know, the Dak is whack hashtags and everything else that come on Twitter. Maybe that's just me. I don't know, but it's just
it might be a Washington thing. But yeah,
maybe
their fans are brutal.
Yeah, they are. But I think if it's going to be one season that he needs to prove himself, it's got to be this one. Or you might be seeing a local boy, Benny DiNucci, out of good old James Madison,
in
Harrisonburg, coming into play.
He went to school right next to where I live now.
That's awesome.
One high school ever.
If he can get that starting spot over Garrett Gilbert, I'm not sure who's higher on the depth chart, but
I don't know. I don't know if we want to see him in there again. I want my CD on explosion.
No, thank you.
Hopefully he's not watching. I don't think he's listening. We got now in Philly, Jalen Hurts is going as QB10. Rob, you buying or selling that?
I'm okay with the upside there in QB1 leagues. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks that if you don't get what you want out of Hurts, there's somebody going to be on waiver wire that you can take the stab at. But the upside is there with his legs. And we got to remember that defense is not very good. They're going to have to throw the ball. I mean, the couple of games that Hurts started, he had high number of pass attempts. He's going to have to throw the ball. He's going to run. And we know what kind of cheat code that quarterbacks that can use their legs are. I mean, you got to buy these guys. That's where the upside is. I mean, you look at the top three guys, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, you got to be able to run with your legs if you want to get up there. And Hurts gives you that. So I will buy into him as a top 10. I don't feel super comfy with it, but upside alone makes me want to buy in. And if he's not there, then I'll grab Kirk Cousins off the waiver wire. I'm totally fine with taking a swing on his upside.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I said Kirk Cousins is a great, like, perfect backup plan.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Flip-flopping these two questions here and completely change yours, Rob. But, Shane, I want you to go on this QB prediction thing for the rookies again.
No, we're not asking Shane this question. I'm a Packer fan.
I'm changing the Packers question for you.
Oh, thank God.
Shane, when are we going to see Justin Fields?
Well, no, I wanted to get into the best love story in the whole world is A-Rod and J-Lo, right? And I'm not talking about Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. I'm actually talking about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. So, I'll leave that one alone.
Thank you.
I just wanted to kind of do a little teaser there, but I'm sorry. You were talking about Justin Fields?
Yeah, when we see him.
Well, if I'm an owner of this organization, we're going to see him in week two, the home opener against Cincinnati. I just think that'd be the best time to do it. And what better way to amp your fans than to bring in Andy Dalton week one, just get the doors blown off of you, which is probably going to happen, and then come back home week two and announce Justin Fields as your starting QB for the home opener. It's going to revamp the Bears crowd. I feel like they're all going to be on board, and maybe if they announce it before game time, they'll fill the stadium up. So I just think that's, you just need to do this early. This is a situation you have to just act fast. I said this about Justin Herbert in San Diego. Put the kid in. It's the same situation in Chicago.
You were so mean for that. benching Andy Dalton, the game he plays his old team. That's just the meanest thing ever, and I love it.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It'll anger Andy Dalton fans, but besides his mom, who else is an Andy Dalton fan?
I mean, Rob, what do they expect out of AJ Dillon this year? for the Packers. I told you I was going way off on this. I got tired. I saw this. And I was like, I'm tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers. What are we expecting out of AJ Dillon this year?
You know, I think he's going to be an RB. He'll be an okay RB3. I mean, no one wanted to play Jamal Williams in that flex role. And Dillon isn't going to get that pass catching role that we've seen Jamal Williams get. So that floor might be a little bit lower, but he might score you 6-7 touchdowns this season, which might be enough for you to feel comfortable throwing into your lineups on a, you know, bye week or something like that. And we got to remember, when you're buying Dillon, you're partly buying him for that flex play, but you're mostly buying him for the fact that if Aaron Jones goes down, you have a top 10 running back. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So I think he's going to be an efficient runner. He's going to be good when he gets the ball. I don't know if he's going to get the volume that you really want to be a weekly flex play, but the touchdown upside will be there that you can throw him into your lineup in a pinch or in a bye week, and you'll be, you know, you're not going to be able to do any better than that.
No, really not. All right, Shane, we got the Minnesota Vikings, and we mentioned earlier about this Justin Jefferson performance last year where he was just out of his freaking mind. We got to see some regression, or is he going to keep this torrid pace up?
Yeah, I honestly think he does keep the pace up, and it's bold prediction time. So I mentioned Julio earlier. I was eager to put him as my number one. I know we haven't even touched on Hopkins yet, but leading the league in 2021 in receiving yards, none other than Justin Jefferson. All you Adam Thielen owners, just get ready for the regression. I honestly think they're going to be all in on this kid. Now, that's going to come down to obviously Kirk Cousins, but the You Like That t-shirts are going to be printed with You Like That on the front and Justin Jefferson on the back. Because I feel like Kurt's going to give him the ball this year. He's going to get it to him a lot. And I think you're looking at the leading number one receiver in receiving yards this year. Pretty bold. I'll have to go to the sports book and see what the odds are on it. I'm all in on this kid. He's unbelievable. 70% catch rate on 125 targets.
If you jinx him and he gets hurt, I'm going to be heartbroken. He's my most he is my most rostered player in all fantasy football, dynasty. I'm all in. I can see that happening. I don't know if it's as bold as you think it is, but I can definitely see it happen. He looked good last year, man, and it's only going to improve. All right.
Absolutely.
Rob, this one is not fun. Detroit, do we care about any of these wide receivers?
No, we don't. I mean, unless you're in like a league where you're starting like the Scott Fishbowl League, where you're starting five receivers or something like that. But if you're in a traditional league with three wide receivers, no, move along. No, you don't want to be starting any of these guys on a weekly basis. I wouldn't even feel comfortable putting them in my lineup on a bye week. I want nothing to do with this passing game unless it's Swift or Hockenson.
That's it.
That is it.
Can I just say one thing? Because I know I have to say this. There is someone that catches my eye on this team. And if he does blow up this year because he's got old Goff thrown to him, Quintez Cephas.
Not who I thought you were going to say.
Just that's all I'm going to say. That'll be my guy.
Just look for him. Huh?
Just look for him this season. The whole team's going to suck, in my opinion. But I like this kid. He didn't get a lot of playing time, but when he did, he scored at least a touchdown or two. So we'll go with him. I like him.
Awesome. I mean, we got somebody out of that team, I guess.
I gave you somebody. And
gave us somebody.
He's a badger.
He caught my eye last season. I actually played him a few weeks in daily, and he did pretty well. He was min price, but he surprised me. And I actually like went back and watched him perform, and he gets away. Like he's got some speed. The kid's fast.
He can move for a big guy.
Yeah, for his size, right? I just think he's an all around good player, and hopefully, you know, you got Goff coming in there. Maybe they can work something with him, but I mean, he's way down there on the depth chart, so who knows? I just like him.
Yeah.
All right, we talked a lot about Detroit. I'm sorry.
That's more talk they ever deserve. All right. So with the Saints now, is the king of the slant route, Michael Thomas, in trouble with Drew Brees gone? And whoever he believes on starting quarterback, because I refuse to say either one of these guys start again. You worried about Michael Thomas? He's dropping for you? Shane?
I mean, so here's the thing with Michael Thomas. Sorry, I thought that was for Rob. Here's the thing about Michael Thomas is you got to ask yourself, are you a firm believer in Taysom Hill? I mean, that's just kind of – obviously, that's just kind of where you're at. Obviously, I know Winston's starting, but do we really think that he's going to start a whole season? I don't think so, personally. So, I mean, you're going to go back down to Taysom Hill, and I honestly think Taysom Hill is going to win that job at the end of the day. So, if Winston starts, it's not going to be for very long. I just don't think he has the consistency. Either that, or I've just never liked him as a player or person, personally. And they've been bringing in Taysom Hill just in those tight end sets here and there. It's Sean Payton, so who knows? But I know he loves him some Taysom Hill. I mean, we can all agree on that. So
yeah.
Either way, it's not Drew Brees, and you're just going to see – I think you're going to see a huge regression.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Going from a team with an old quarterback who left, we're sticking with that old quarterback who's never going to leave and play forever – and that's Tampa. Out of this receiving core, is there anyone you're trusting now? Because this is kind of a mess in a great way for the team, but a mess for us in fantasy.
I'm avoiding all these guys, to be honest with you. I think the one that I'm fading the most is Mike Evans. You know, we've seen his targets drop significantly last year, and that was without AB for 8 games, without Godwin for 4 games. He scored 13 touchdowns on 109 targets, which is double his career touchdown rate. If I'm buying one, honestly, I think the best value is Antonio Brown, hands down. You know, he's all the way down there at wide receiver 45. I think he has a chance to give you back end wide receiver 3 numbers. And we don't talk about wide receiver handcuffs much, but if Evans or Godwin goes down, he's jumping up to a top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I know that opportunity is there for, you know, any wide receiver 3 or 4 across the league, but Antonio Brown is different. I mean, he's the best wide receiver of our generation. If he gets that opportunity, you can trust him to deliver what you want. So I don't mind Godwin right now. I know Evans is going earlier in ADP. So if I got to get a piece of this offense, if I absolutely need to, I'm okay with Godwin, but really I'm just avoiding all of it because I have no idea how the target distribution is going to go. And we got to remember, this could be the number one defense in the league. So the volume might not be there on top of how much competition there is on, you know, in Tampa Bay as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a mess, but I like the AB call for a late dart throw for later.
Oh, on. Yeah.
I like that a lot. Shane, do you think this is Carolina? Is this change of scenery going to help Sam Darnold live up to that lofty draft pedigree that he had?
I honestly think it does. I don't think it really, like, I mean, he's going to become a better player. And there's only one guy that's the reason for that, in my opinion, and that's Christian McCaffrey. I mean, if McCaffrey can stay healthy for a full season, anytime you've got a running back as a threat like Christian McCaffrey, quarterbacks love that, right? I mean, it just opens up the whole field for him. And he's got better weapons, with Moore, Anderson, and then they got Terrace Marshall now. That offense, I think, becomes a little bit more diverse, and they don't just rely on McCaffrey all season. I can see him actually doing pretty well in Carolina. I don't have them finishing 500, maybe 7-9, 6-10, but I think it'll be an improvement from the Jets. I mean, it's not hard to do.
No, not at all. I'm gonna flip these ones because we've talked about this at one person a lot.
Or 7-10.
So, Rob, can DK Metcalf get to the wide receiver 1 in fantasy? Like, what are your chances for that happening?
Can who? I'm sorry?
DK Metcalf reach wide receiver.
Oh.
The wide receiver 1.
Wide receiver 1.
Yeah.
Well, sure, of course. I mean, I think he's got the talent there. He's got Russell Wilson at quarterback, and he's got the potential to score 13, 14, 15 touchdowns. I mean, when you look at what his game resonates on, the deep ball, the red zone stuff. Do I think he will? No, and it's largely because I don't think the volume will be there. I mean, Seattle is going to want to run the football. They've always wanted to run the football. Metcalf had 130-ish targets last year. You got to be hyper-efficient if you want to finish as the wide receiver 1 at 130, 135 targets, because Adams is going to be up there at 170. Diggs is going to be up there at 170. Hopkins is going to be up there. I mean, you got to be ultra efficient if you're going to be the number one with that target share. And it's not a knock on Metcalf. It's just their offensive philosophy. I love him as a player. He's got that kind of upside because he can score 15 touchdowns. I just wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, Shane, I'm coming to this one here. Do you believe in the Kyle Pitts hype right now going as no? Let's hear it. No. I love it.
No, I'm honestly sick of hearing about it, to be honest with you. I think he's legit going to be the biggest bust in the draft, and it's not even his fault. It's not even his fault. It's the organization that he's playing for. The one thing I hated about watching the Titans last season was that Jonnu Smith was such a dominant tight end, and he'd get down to the red zone. And obviously, I know they got Derrick Henry. I get it. Run the ball, Derrick Henry, yada, 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 rinse and repeat. But he never saw targets, and he never saw targets. So I'm doing my daily fantasy research. I want to play Jonnu. And I'm like, all right, well, why is the reason he's not getting targets? And I'm like, oh, okay. It's because Arthur Smith doesn't like tight ends. There's something about tight ends that he does not like. Jonnu saw 65 targets all last season. I think he's a better tight end than that. And another fun fact that I saw today is since 1998, only two tight ends have topped over 620 yards in their rookie season. Only two. And I just think tight end is that one position in the NFL that you've got your top tier, and then there's just a huge decline. I know a lot of teams are, you know, they're really stacking up on receivers and even running backs now. There's so many running backs by committee. I think he might be the biggest bust in the draft for being a tight end. I don't like it.
Shane, I love you for that answer. I really do. Like, it's so refreshing to hear that opposite side of it. Rob, the Rams' new quarterback, Matt Stafford, what's his ceiling for you now with these weapons being the system, being somewhere not Detroit?
His ceiling is back-end RB1 or QB1. I mean, anybody expecting him to be top five or top seven is just not paying attention. I mean, we got to look at what Aaron Rodgers did last season. That was incredible, and he just broke into that. I mean, and I think McVay, as much as he wants to throw the ball, and of course he does, he gave up so much to get Stafford, but he, like LaFleur, is going to base his offense around running the football. And they got a dominant defense. I love Stafford as a real life quarterback in 2021, but as far as fantasy, I love him as QB2. I think he's got, 10 to 12 potential for quarterbacks, but that's really where I'm putting my ceiling at with him. And it's not a knock on him. It's just what they got going on on that team that I think kind of holds him back.
Yeah. If I miss on QB and I get Matt Stafford, I'm happy.
Right.
Maybe content's more the word, but I'm content. Like, I'm cool starting him every week. Shane, I'm gonna ask two parts of this because you alluded to it earlier. Out of these running backs in Arizona, Chase Edmonds or James Conner, who do you take in, or do you think either surpasses the other?
Personally, I'm not taking neither of them because I just think they're gonna counter each other. You know what I mean? It's kind of the thunder and lightning from back in the old New York Giant days with Tiki Barber and Ron Dames. Am I saying that? Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go. I kind of a similar situation in my opinion. Connor's that bruiser back, and Edmonds is he's more swift. So I feel like it's kind of counterproductive to take either of them in my opinion from a daily and a dynasty standpoint. And then I know there's two other young guys that were undrafted rookies that are also competing, to get some carries. So we're going to talk about them here in a minute, but I just think this is another San Francisco situation.
Yeah. Is D-Hop in that top three for you? I said you mentioned his name earlier when you said you didn't hear D-Hop. Was he your other guy up there?
It's hard to say no to that, right? That's another reason that you kind of want to ignore these running backs, but yeah, I love Hopkins, and he's got Kyler throwing the ball to him, so yeah, he's in my top three. I will give him top three.
Yeah, too. Rob, last one for us. San Francisco, which running back? We believe in the Trey Sermon hype now, or he's a lead, or are you just?
It's kind of one of those that I think I'm avoiding. I mean, Shanahan really hasn't gone with a lead dog in ever since he's been in San Francisco. And I don't think it's going to change his season unless injuries dictate it, which is always a possibility with Raheem Mostert. So if I got to take anybody, I guess I'm taking Sermon at his ADP. It's down there. He's got upside, but I think this is a running field or running back by committee backfield. I'm not buying into anybody being a set it and forget it RB2. So I guess it all just depends on what your expectations are. But if I'm going to roll the dice on somebody, give me the rookie that they traded up for in the third round.
Awesome. So, all right, guys, real quick, Ryan,
I'm sorry I got to do this. Jeff's not here. Is that certain rookie you're talking about named Elijah Mitchell?
No.
Okay. I'm just curious because so funny story, I'm in Jeff's Dynasty League, and I know nothing about this kid, and I end up getting him in the sixth round, two picks ahead of Jeff.
Jeff was so mad, wasn't he?
And he was furious. So I get back, and he's trying to offer me all these trades and everything else. I know nothing about Elijah Mitchell. I really didn't. So I didn't really keep up with the draft. And I get back, and I'm getting trade requests. So I'm going to go ahead and say Elijah Mitchell is going to be their starting running back this year, Jeff. And he's going to take the place of Jeff Wilson first. He's going to get his opportunity. They're going to realize what they have. And then he's coming from Mostert.
And then
I want you to offer me another trade, this time for a first stringer that you have and not some like third round draft picks. That's all I have to say.
I like it.
That's special for you, Jeff. Well, we get all 32 teams, so we're going to hit everybody's favorite segment tonight. We're doing the Forgotten Fantasy Player. Rob, since this is your last week co-hosting with me, I'm going to let you go first since I didn't last week.
Oh, you got
your Forgotten Fantasy Player.
Does anybody remember Lendale White?
Yeah, the original Thunder and Lightning, man.
The original, yeah. You know, he only had one season, but I won a fantasy football championship off of that kid. The one year that he put up over 1,100 yards. He didn't have 1,100 yards in the three seasons combined that he played otherwise. But that one season, was amazing.
Yeah. He's one of those guys I couldn't even tell. Who did he play for then? I can remember his college, but on his pro team, which is
Tennessee. He only played 4 years. That was it. But he had over 1,100 yards. He had 8 touchdowns. And I rode him to the championship, and I won. And we kind of never heard of him from him again.
No, man. I remember him from when he was at USC, and they were in the Natty. And they decided to give the ball to him instead of Reggie Bush. He took that for a loss to end the game. Like, that's how I remember him. But yeah, he had a huge season. It's awesome.
Yep. Just that one. But it was a memorable one for me.
Hell yeah. Shane, who you got?
Well, this guy had 1.5 seasons, and he was actually on the Madden cover. Mr. Peyton Hillis. As soon as I saw this question, that was the first guy that came to mind because I remember playing him so much in daily fantasy. And he went from like 1,000 or 1,100 yards down to 600 yards, all the way down to 300 yards to 200 yards. And I don't even know where this guy's at today. I heard he has like a faux hawk or something, and he's just
he has
a faux hawk. I tried to look for him. I even went on like TMZ to see if he's dating a celebrity or something, and he literally fell off the earth. And that's the biggest Madden curse in history, in my opinion, too, by the way.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, man, thanks for coming on tonight. Again, Shane, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yep, on Twitter at DFShane26. Like I said, I'm not doing much on there anymore. I'll probably get a little bit more active when football starts, but I'm big into daily fantasy. That's my go-to, so I've been playing it. It's a funny story. I was actually one of the original beta testers for FanDuel when it first came out. So, I've had a passion for – when I saw the whole daily thing come out, I just caught my eye, so I signed up and I got picked, and – at that point in time, I never knew I'd be playing for money. I just thought it was something fun to do, and they chose me. So never really took it serious. I mean, there was guys winning a lot of money on there. Long story short, I'm a daily guy. So if you go on there, you have any questions, any need any tips, I take daily fantasy very serious. That's Garrison was asking a bunch of questions. We talk daily a lot too. So, yeah. I appreciate you guys for having me. I felt the show was a lot more fun without Jeff. The age kind of went down. It's at least 20 years younger now that Jeff's not here. I got to give him crap. I've known Jeff forever. He's my boy. 15 years and counting. Jeff's doing a great job here at Going for Two. You guys are doing an awesome job, and thanks so much for having me.
Really appreciate it, man. And Rob, again, tell everybody they can find you.
You can find me at Rob FF Addict, writing for a couple of places right now, but same as Shane, you can DM me any questions, Dynasty, Redraft, anything like that. Always able to talk fantasy football whenever you want.
Awesome, guys. And remember, we will be off next week. We got some vacations coming up, but we will be back with some team previews. We have some awesome guests coming on. So make sure to check in and on the Armchair Fantasy Show and everything on the Going for Two Network. And we'll catch y'all next week.